Oh, someone's hand, let's say it together. Our Father,
this evening
we receive revelation knowledge found in your Son. Our hearts are open for the truth that is found in him alone. There is no error in his atmosphere. There is no contradiction. We receive in simplicity and accuracy the knowledge of Jesus. We see him as he sees us in him. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. Christ the healer. Praise the Lord. Christ the healer. Praise the Lord. I said Christ the healer. Praise the Lord. I said Christ the healer. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which you are also saved. And that should end that set of sentences. So the next verse will have been, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Why did he say that? Because some guys have been saying, verse 12, that there is no resurrection of the dead. So he says, look, you have to keep in memory what I taught you. And so there's a tendency to forget and not to commit to a heartfelt remembrance the key truths about the gospel. And then what does he make emphasis of here? He says in verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the gospel. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the gospel. Sorry, to scripture, sorry. And he was seen of Cephas and of the 12. He was seen of Peter. And we said that there are two kinds of seeing. Paul, for example, talked about in verse 7 into verse 8, he says that, he was seen of me. Obviously, the scene that Paul is referring to here will be a vision. Paul never saw Jesus physically. So there are two kinds of seeing that he points out here. But listen, he says that the truth of the gospel is that he was seen of Peter. And we said that the eyewitness of the incarnation of Christ is a fabric of the gospel. It's an important element of the gospel preached, because it confirms God in the flesh. It confirms the humanity of God in Christ. Now, let's go back to Peter's submission, because Peter was mentioned here. He's the one that is called Cephas. 2 Peter chapter 1. I was listening to Ejiro when I was leading prayer, and I felt he emphasized something in there that is vital. He said, that my experiences do not become my doctrine. I guess he said that, right? Is that what he said? Or is it doctrine he said? Is that what he said? Huh? My judgment. All right, maybe I got it wrong. That my experiences should not be my judgment. And that's quite a prayer, because you must not allow your experiences to determine your belief pattern. You must learn to have the word of God supreme above even your own experience. Now, obviously, your experiences will change, okay? But then you must never allow your experiences to become your doctrine, your judgment, your sense of reasoning and judgment. Hallelujah. That's important. The word of God must be supreme, have supremacy. We say saints community church, or is it whatever one, you know. We say arriving the lordship of God's word. I call that word, you know, it was in 1996. We were coming from a conference we had just had. We called it I forgot the title of the conference, but my friend then came to teach on success in the world. following God's plan for your life, meditating on God's word, then we will not listen to the song by Dumb Wen. Be it unto me according to your word. You know, and then he said, Lord, we bow at the lordship of your word. And I told my friend, what a statement. What a statement. It's from there we got the heralding the lordship of the word. We bow at it. That the word of God is Lord. The word of God is supreme. You know, the word of God does not lord itself. In the sense of lording itself over you, you've got to receive it by faith. And walk in the light of it. So here is Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Peter says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Were eyewitnesses. Now, no, he's not talking about his resurrection, but he says, were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Ha ha. He says, he's not cunningly devised fables. The word cunningly devised is the word sophizo. S-O-P-H-I-Z-O. It means to craft out a script. To create a story. Like you do in a movie. You create a story. Sometimes it's a real life story, but you create a story. I'm working on a movie project now, and we're trying to replay a life story and create other things. So we sit down, we begin to see what would work here, what would work in there. We have a team, so we're throwing up ideas. I got to interview some folks. You know, we're going to do it. We've mapped out a plan on a movie project. That means we are crafting something. Of course, there's a true life story in it, but I want to craft out other things to make it relevant, you know, stuff like that. Peter said, we have not followed that. Nobody sat down to create a story. He says, cunningly devised fables. What's a fable? It's from the Greek word muthos. M-U-T-H-O-S. It means a false account. A fable, a story, something somebody just says to excite the crowd. Have you watched? Did you used to watch this in those days? Pam 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 pam. Auntie. Then she says the donkey was talking to the dog. I think it's Sunday evenings. All right. Titus 1:4. Some of you say, yes, I don't know what I'm talking about. Titus 1:4. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men and turned from the truth. You know, they are Jewish fables. Some guys did a study on the importance of numbers. A Bible teacher. Numbers. That names have significance. That when you have, when you look at the word Jehovah, you put it upside down. Those are not things a preacher should be saying from the pulpit. You can say it in a night of 1,000 laughs. But don't come on the pulpit and say such things. I say, you know, that the first three chapters of the Bible, there are four verses, there are 18. Stop that. Stop it there. That's a fable. When did you see Jesus do a series on numbers? So 7 is number of perfection. 7 sons of Sceva. Say 5 is number of grace, also devil and demon. That's just mythos. A fabricated account. It says they're Jewish fables. And Jews, we're going to see two of them. Jews actually had fables that they were following. Fables. There are some guys like that. Did you grow up anybody like that in your class? Who will come and tell nice stories? Great stories like that. Wonderful stories. One guy like that in my secondary school will always tell us up during the midterm break, he'll go to America, he'll go to England, he'll come back, and all that. He'll just America, England, and you know, all sorts of things like that. Fable. He just created something. And those who are ignorant will say, one fellow like that, he was telling the story of how they didn't see him for days. So he came back. Where have you gone to? He said, I was in the thick forest. I was battling a huge lion. So he sat down there. Everybody was listening to his story. He said, wow. He said, for the first day, the lion was battling me. I threw it down, palm, threw me down. Everybody was looking at him and saying, wow, this guy's powerful. He said, at a point, I was almost losing strength. I threw up the lion again. He came back at me. When he came back at me forcefully, if he had stopped there, he said, and I put it down. Boah! And the lion went quiet. If he had just stopped there, it would have been like faith came by hearing. Then he said, I grabbed the horn. Ah! And he said, bros, now goat, you see. He oversaid it. As fable. Just to create something that doesn't exist. Some guy said, well, I died. I went to heaven. I saw Jesus. I saw Satan. And the Father was angry. That's fable. You created that account. Sometimes it's not really created. I told you before, if someone doesn't eat for a long time, he's fasting. Some of you have had malaria one time and you saw things in your room. I told my mom, you know, my mom is a different kind of person. I said, the gorilla has entered. What's that? She just, you know, she was giving me injection. I was in primary five or so. Was it? I think so. She just brought out the syringe and sprayed the liquid into my mouth. A nurse, she was. I didn't see anything again. So there are fables. 1 Timothy 4:7. Paul warns preachers about fables. See, I saw on the head of Obama, 666. Stop that nonsense. Old wise fables. 2 Timothy 4:4. He warns preachers about fables. They are turned to fables. They are turned away from the truth to fables. A false account. He exists nowhere. Hallelujah. Second Peter, getting back there. He says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known to you the coming, the word there is parousia, the presence. The presence. Told you the word parousia, presence can be used for what you call the rapture. The revelation of Jesus Christ in human form through the church is also used for the incarnation of Christ. That's why it's always mixed up in the epistles. Because it's the same word used for the incarnation since they're going to do the same thing. You know, because the incarnation is God revealing himself in humanity. The rapture is also Christ revealing himself in a man. That is it physically. So usually the word presence or appearing is used for both. But within the context, you will know whether it's past or future. We always call it second coming. The truth of the matter is that, you know, we say they will come for us. We allow it in our songs because that's the way you can understand what is being said. But there's no coming. It's a revealing, an appearing, a parousia, an apocalypsis, a phanerousis. That's what it is. Because Christ is not coming. Christ is within. So it's called the manifestation of the Son of God. That was, the Son of God will be seen in human form. He says, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when it shall appear, we shall be as he is. That is the appearance. Okay? So he says, when we made known to you the coming, which is the past tense now, of our Lord Jesus Christ. said, were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He calls it his majesty. That means there was a whole lot majestic in the appearance of Christ. Majestic. John 1:14 says, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. I told you, the us is not you and I. And dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory. He called it glory. He called it glory. Doxa. We beheld his resources, his wealth. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Then what is in that glory? It's a full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. In verse 16, he said, of his own fullness have all we received. The we is not you and I. The we are those who saw him physically. Grace for grace. The word grace for grace means gifts with gifts and matching gifts. In other words, they saw that Jesus was always giving. Jesus didn't take anything from anybody. He was always giving. So that means that his earthly ministry was a revelation of God. His earthly ministry was a revelation of God. We beheld his majesty. You know that there was nothing majestic in Jesus' appearance. You know, one time he told them, what are you looking for? Are you looking for those who wear purple clothes? Those who dress in kingly array? He said, go to the king's palaces. Isaiah said, he had no form of comeliness that we should desire. So there was nothing majestic. In other words, he didn't have the appearance of when he's walking like this, his face was glittering. There was a time his appearance was glittering, but that was a spectacular appearance in Matthew 17. He didn't have a spectacular appearance. You didn't look at him and you saw Son of God is all over him. As he's walking, when he talks, it will echo. Hello, hello. Not majestic. So the majestic or the majesty that Peter is referring to is his character. But the things he said, the things he did, he was kingly in his love, kingly in his grace, gracious in his words. Hallelujah. Because the incarnation shows us what is identical in the resurrection. Because the incarnation cannot differ from the resurrection. Because the same Jesus rose from the dead and is alive today. Hallelujah. First epistle of John chapter 1. John 1:1. First John 1. That which was from the beginning. Watch this. Which we have heard. This eyewitness now. Which we have heard. That is, we heard him physically. Which we have seen with our eyes. The word seen with our eyes is the word ophthalmos. O-P-H-T-H-A-L-M-O-S. You have ophthalmology, you know that? So that's a Greek word. We saw him with our physical eyes, not a vision. If you had used the word oraho, oraho could be both ways. But ophthalmos is that I saw him with my eyes. You use the word eyes, physical eyes. It's used for physical seeing. We saw with our eyes. We saw it. John. Then he says, which we have looked upon. Then he says, our hands have handled. Our hands have handled. The word handled there means we felt him. P-S-E-L-A-P-H-A-O. Selafao. It means we touched him, we felt him. We were around him. That's a physical account. Remember, in Luke 24, when Jesus rose from the dead, That was the same word he used. He said, touch me. Verse 39, Luke 24. He says, touch me, handle me, and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones. Handle me. John says we handle him. We handle him. Acts 17. Paul used that word in preaching to those who were worshiping the unknown God. He says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. To feel after. Hebrews 12:18. We have not come to a mount that might be touched. Same word. To touch. So, in other words, they are giving us, you see, both Peter and John included this fact in their epistle. And Paul added it to his own. Seeing of Cephas. Because that human account gives us a picture of Christ. God in the flesh. Grace upon grace. Of his own fullness. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth, verse 17, exists by Jesus Christ. For no man had seen God at any time, up till that time. Hallelujah. But the Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. That means that the any time they were referring to was before his incarnation. But at his incarnation, they have seen God. Physically saw God. That's why Jesus said that. Did you hear any voice? Did you see anybody? What you read, what you heard were prophecies, words of the prophet. Now I am the one that they are testifying of. Hallelujah. In other words, he is revalidating by what he is saying, his existence in the human form. So if you say, does he have any shape? He never had, now he does. Hallelujah. He never had, but now he does. Did he have any voice? He never had, now he does. So the humanity of Christ is a crucial fact of the gospel. Without it, his death becomes a fable. His burial becomes a story. Just a gist. That is not valuable. His resurrection, therefore, will become another fable. But glory to God. They said, we touched him. We saw him. We felt after him. Peter said, we have not followed cunningly devised fable. Where we made known unto you that power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 5 verse 1, he calls himself a witness of the sufferings of Christ. A witness. And the glory that shall be revealed. A witness of the sufferings of Christ. So, what they witnessed in the four Gospels was the glory of God. What they witnessed in the four Gospels was the glory of God. So, the first human being whose actions are God's actions, whose words are God's words, whose thoughts are God's thoughts, whose cries are God's cries, whose laughter are God's laughter, whose prayer is God's prayer, whose pursuit is God's pursuit, is Christ. What we had before him were servants. Voices for the voice. Just like John said, he is not the light. He only came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John 5:35. He was a burning and a shining light. A burning and a shining light. Luchinos, you saw him, the lamp. But the light is Christ. Hallelujah. So nobody, not one person, had that expression of God like Jesus. Because he's God revealing God. So whatever he did is a God action. Whatever he was is a God action. or it's a God function. And that's what he did. That's who he is. So John says, we beheld his glory. And he says, it's grace for grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember we read that? He said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Matthew 9, verse 13. I desire mercy. The word desire is the word philo. I intend, I want. My motive is mercy and not sacrifice. Mercy. They were wondering why he was eating with sinners, why he stayed with prostitutes. He said, look, I am not for sacrifice, but mercy. No wonder they were all right. Grace for grace. There was nothing in the life of Jesus that mirrored the law. Nothing. Nothing. There was nothing in the life of Jesus that mirrored the law. He wasn't supposed to mirror the law. He wasn't supposed to give voice to the law. He is to give voice to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, John says, his grace matching grace. Grace for grace. He's always giving. He's always giving. He's always giving. He's always giving. In the wedding at the Cana of Galilee, which is called his first miracle in some accounts, in John 2, watch this. So the glory of God is in what he gives. The glory of God. So I was preaching one day, said, when you hear the thunder and lightning, is God reminding us of who he is? Lest you forget that I can do and undo. John 2. Hallelujah. Verse 11. This beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. He calls the miraculous his glory. That display of power. When needs are met, he calls it his glory. Grace for grace. Grace for grace. Always giving. John the Baptist, in John 3, verse 36, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. That's what he said about it. He doesn't come to take from you. The only thing he took is the sin of the whole world. John 1:29. That's why it wasn't consistent when John now says he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That wasn't consistent. But you know, John is a born and a shining light. He's not the true light. Hallelujah. When the true light was going to quote him, the true light just said, John said, not many things you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He left the fire for him. Acts 1:5. Because he is the light. He is the light. Hallelujah. He takes away sin. He gives life. He gives eternal life. In John 5, he met a woman who was at the well. And then the woman, you know, he said to give him water. And she said, well, are you being a Jew, you ask me, a Samaritan? He said, if you knew the gift of God, and he that asks of you, you'll have asked of him, and he will give you living water. He calls himself the gift of God. The word Doron is a Doron of God. One thing that is rendered to people to benefit them. In verse 14, he said, if you drink this water, verse 13, you will thirst. But the water I shall give in you shall be in you a well, springing up to everlasting life. Notice that in the statements of Jesus, he was always giving. Always giving. always give. In John 5, he spoke about eternal life. John 5, John 6, John 7, John 8, John 10. I give eternal life. I give. So, he, in his incarnation, gave us the picture, the true picture of God, which is a giving God. A giving God. So the incarnation was to give us a picture. A correct picture. A giving God. And in doing that, he removes myths, fables, false account. You know, when Paul was talking about myths in Titus 1:14, he calls it the doctrines of men, the law. He calls it a fable, a wrong account. Muthos, an incorrect account. Look at John 5. John 5. Verse 1. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. The moving of the water is a fable. Waiting for the moving of the water. People have believed in legends, superstition, the moving of the water. You should have asked yourself, who was moving the water when God was there? He was away from the water. It's a fable. But they believed it. You know, it's so interesting that some people even now still use this verse to teach a healing service. We are going to have the movement of the water in this service. They are not Jews, though. They are not in the sheep market. But they quote this. Then he says, in verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the problem of the water steps in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. The first person. Now, this is a fable. It's not a true account. But you know, the truth is, some folks will get healed because if they never got healed, it will become a legend. So they assume that God was healing one person per season. That's what they assume. Do not forget, when this was happening, Jesus already had started ministry. And the sick was getting healed. Yet some folks, despite the grace of God, they were following what? Fables. And don't forget, John says they were in their multitude. So never get the impression that most of those around Jesus were listening to him. Some didn't just care. Some didn't just care. They didn't just want to know. And these folks were just like that. God had become flesh. He came to his own and his own received him not. He came to the world, even though the world was made by him, and the world didn't just know. It's not ignorance. It is rejection. They just couldn't fathom. I'm sure some of those guys in the pool will have heard about, there's one Jesus. Which one is that one? And they just discarded. So this was a fable. And there are things like that that people have come to believe over time. Just like in Acts 12, remember? In Acts 12, when Herod fell down and he died, and scripture recalls that he had a stomach problem. He gave up the ghost. And he said, an angel of the Lord struck him. Who saw the angel? Nobody. That was just the account. Who was seeing the angel at this point? Nobody. It's just a fable, an account. And so, they have believed this. Sometimes, the things that we have believed are accounts that passed down for years. Do you know that? If something is a lie, if it stays so long, it will look true. It is a lie. It will look so real. Look at the doctrine of tithing. People believe that when you tithe, God will protect your income and all that. But the truth is, when Jesus came to the world, before he came, tithing was never money. Not at any time. So, when the apostles came, they never preached tithing for many reasons. In the first 600 years of the church, after the apostles had even passed on, like John, there was no teaching on tithing. But along the line, I usually forget the year again. The synod of Macon. Some have argued it's not just Macon, but that's the one I know. The synod of Macon now agreed that since they were having priests in the Catholic Church, that how should they take care of the priests? And so, along the line, they said, okay, people, let's do it like the Old Testament, like Levi. So we keep 10% and people are giving. That was the time it became money. But look at for how long that has been a myth. Such that people have been drugged to think it affects their prosperity. It's a drug. But when something is so long practiced, it now looks so real. That when you're even trying to tell people, no. Look at it very well. Say, I know what I'm saying. I know. Every time I don't pay my tithe, my gas finishes on time. You now begin to hear ridiculous things. That is the effect of the fable. I know what I'm saying. I know it. Yes. I know it. Those are the times that all of a sudden my NEPA card just goes off. Some very funny things of fable. And this is the instance here again. John 5. Verse 5. A certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" What a question. What a question for somebody who was at the pool. You know, it's very possible for someone to come out on the healing line and not want to get healed. It's very possible. I've seen people come to church to have hands laid on them not to be healed. It's very possible. You'll be shocked. Some guys will come and I'll say, "Well, I just want you to pray for me." Have you had people tell you, "Pray for me"? Say, "Pray for exactly what? Just pray." And then you say, "Okay, I want to pray for you about your sickness in your body." Then you want to hear them out. And when you hear them for 10 minutes, you will thank God you never prayed. Has that happened to you before? You will now give them a teaching. Because they will just list you amongst those who prayed for them. So you have to ask him, "Would thou be made whole? Do you want to be?" The man said, look at the response. "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steps in. Watch this. Down before me. Look at what Jesus picked in his statement. I have no man. Obviously, everybody at that pool were acting this way. I have no man. Then he said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Notice he didn't say you are healed. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. The Bible says, immediately, the man was made whole. Remember, what was he waiting for? A man. Remember, as well, in Acts 3, at the beautiful gate, the man was expecting to receive. So that when it comes to healing, what's sufficient is just to want. To want. So he says, take up your bed and walk. Immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So the man responded to an instruction. He took up his bed. And he walked. Because that's what Jesus said. In other words, everybody in that pool were just acting on an information. Sometimes, some guys can have the wrong information. So, when he heard, take up your bed and walk. What has that done? That just debunked the myth. He didn't have to be at that pool at all. Who's following what I'm saying here? So Jesus debunks a fable. He says, you just walk. He didn't know what. Now, when that happened, the Jews, therefore, verse 10, said unto him that was cured, see, is it the Sabbath? It's not lawful for thee to carry that bed. These guys are really very, I don't know what name to call them, but I can't figure it out. Because legalism can be so mean. A woman is bent over and she can't be straight. And then they are saying, why should you heal on Sabbath day? Are you well? Jesus had to say it almost in an annoying fashion, what not this woman? Okay, forget every other thing. Being a daughter of Abraham can be so mean. But it's grace for grace. Hallelujah. You see, what he expects was the minimal expectation. Just want. There was no building your faith to a faith level. It just to want. Just to want. Because all that grace requires, allow me to use that term, is to just stretch your hand. And that's what the man did. And these guys began to question what he was doing. Then they asked him, in verse 12, what man is he which said to you, take up your bed and walk? And the problem they had was the man. Who is the person? You know, sometimes people's challenge is who preached it. It's who preached it. That's what. It's who preached it. Hallelujah. Someone told me this. He gave one of our materials to someone before we began to do, before we put it on the net. He just gave a CD. We have a name. And this fellow had listened well to the teaching. God so blessed. Just empty CD. Till they mentioned the preacher. that guy. After you said you were blessed. I tell many people, you may not like my face. You don't have to. But you see, you will hear this. You will hear it. It doesn't have to be by my mouth. It's the word of God. It will enter your bedroom. Your wife will preach it. It's your wife that will share it one day. Your children will come back home and they'll be showing you. You may not like my face. You don't have to. My face is not to be liked. That's the truth. Just like every other preacher. If someone is teaching the truth of God's word, he doesn't. You're liking the person is even anywhere. I see, they said, who is this man? Who did it? Who told you? He said he didn't know who he was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude in that place. So he didn't exactly know who he was. Look at that interesting detail. You don't have to know that he is a healer for you to be healed. Just want to be healed. He didn't say, well, I know him. The Greek word of his name is Yosios. He's Yeshua in the Hebrew. He's a Christos. No. There are 18 prophecies about him, 28 prophecies about him, 38 prophecies. No. Just want to be healed. So, a Muslim who does not agree with the gospel for salvation can receive from Christ the healer. Is he? just that way. I don't know if you have ever prayed for someone who is not a believer and he received healing. Let me see that here. Who is not a believer and received healing. I did not become a believer after. That's the one I want to see. Anyone like that? Didn't become a believer. I've seen numerous like that. So I know that Jesus Christ is powerful. But that issue of dying for my sins. Someone told me, he said, that's not necessary. Did I ask him to? And he has been healed. I felt like, bring back the healing. And take your sickness. But it's all together, love. Hallelujah. You know what Ezekiel said? He said, your behavior is so shameful. That's what he told them. He was prophesying. He said, the first thing I would do, Ezekiel is prophesying, you will almost see anger. He said, I will cleanse you with water. I'll put my spirit in you. Go and read that Ezekiel prophecy very well. I'll cause you to walk in my statutes and you'll do them. I'll call for the corn and the wine. And multiply your seed. Then you'll be ashamed. Can you imagine? When God is pleased with you, you will hate your ungodliness. Can you imagine? That's his own emotion. Hallelujah. Watch this then. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Watch this. Then he said to him, sin no more, lest a worse thing come to you. You know, there are two people primarily that he said, sin no more to. In John 8, the woman that the Pharisees brought to him, and this man. Why did he say sin no more? Because it never came to him. What he told the woman, he says, sin no more. Go and sin no more. Imagine saying, go and sin no more, and then tell to her, I am the light of the world. So, is he asking her to leave him? Go, therefore, will mean go away from their condemnation. Go away from their accusation. And sin no more. I am the light of the world. John 8:12. He that follows me, are you there? Will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So the sin no more is come. Come unto me. Because sin means to go away, to go away from. So the sin he's referring to here is going away from him. In this instance again, we said Jesus was healing the sick. This man was at the pool. So when he said, sin no more, lest, watch this, a worse thing come upon thee. The worst thing is not worse sickness. It's the word chariot. Now in those days they didn't have worst. You know when you have worst, or is it worst, bad, worst, or worstest. They didn't have billions or millions then. They had thousands. And what they call thousands and thousands is what we call millions and billions today. So when it says the worst, it's talking about something that is of a greater proportion of evil. Now when it says the worst thing shall come on you, is the word chariot, which is a synonym of the word kakos. K-A-K-O-S. What's he talking about? Definitely, he's not saying a worse sickness. Because what is worse to sickness, he mentioned it in John 5. Keep reading John 5. Verse 24. Verily I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And shall not come to condemnation, but is passed from death to life. In verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good and unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So, what is worse to sickness? It is damnation. So, you've got to follow. You got to listen to me. The woman who was brought by the Pharisees, you got to follow. I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. So Jesus, let's get back to this. He busts a myth in there. A myth. That says that God will send an angel to stir up the water. And people had believed that. They have. And myths are so funny and horrible that when God came, they didn't recognize him. The same person, they claim, sent an angel. When they saw him, they refused him. So fables will turn you from the truth. Look at John 9. Learning something? You learning something? Remember, false wrong thinking produces wrong believing. And Saul rightly said, is a false teaching produces wrong thinking. A false teaching. A false teaching. That's all like that I saw with a book. The sovereign will of God. And he's talking to me about he has some sickness and pain that disturbs his body. I said, and this is what you are studying at this point. He said, no, sir, I just want to know how they are thinking. So, you know, I said, not at this point. Do your Bible study on this later. Right now, get any material, including those who are not even sound Bible teachers. They don't teach Christocentric. But they say God is good. They say he heals the sick all the time. You rather hear those who say that, even that mention bottle of anointing oil and mantle. You need those ones now. More than somebody doing exegesis on sovereignty. And the eventual result of that sovereignty is that God can be good. You cannot forget what he said, because at that point there's evil on your body. You are not smart. You are not smart. What, see someone that didn't know who Jesus was. You know his incarnation, his revelation, his intuition, his resurrection, and all that. You are reading all sorts of things. Is Christ the healer? That's why you should look at that. At that point. Christ the healer. So Jesus takes away myths. That there's a place that God heals people. A particular spot. And it's in some seasons. is a healer all the time. I said he's a healer all the time. Look at John 9. Another myth. John 9. Verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. So the Jews believe this. There's a part of Jews that believe in incarnation. That when a man dies, he can come back in his children. Yorubas believe it. They believe all that stuff. But it's not a new belief system. That the man will come back. And sometimes, they believe that he will come back to pay for something he had done. I know some of these things sometimes, they will play out in experiences. They will. And some believers do, you know, as a younger Christian, I used to fall very ill. Very, very sick. I mean, extremely sick. The early 2 weeks I'll be in the hospital, sometimes I'll meet it. I got so sick that the doctors and the nurses, when I showed up, they were not scared. You'll say, oh, welcome. Interestingly, my doctor's daughter is in this church. I'm talking about 29 years ago. So I told her, I said, that hospital you mentioned is my father. I said, that is your dad. I said, yes, this is the daughter of my doctor. And then we come inside. And I go there. So, I asked my father. He said, that the men, they told them that the first children, all the first children of my great-grandfather, and my, imagine great-grandfather, somebody I never saw. My great-grandfather, my grandfather, I never saw any of my grandfathers. I only saw one grandmother. The others didn't wait for me. And I said, he said, they now said every first child had to be sacrificed, had to die. And the funny thing about Africa is this. Many of the things they call curses were sicknesses they never discovered the cure. Do you know that what was called Ogbanje was sickle cell anemia? But it became so real. So they'll give birth to the first one, that second one, because it's the same one, then one will now stay. You get? So they said that every first child had to die. But I was the first that stayed. That therefore, that sickness will have to continue. I told somebody I respected. His doctor said, it's true. Imagine, a man of God said, it's true. True. I lost hope. He said, but we have to fast and pray. Now I was falling sick. And I felt this was God who is part of the myth. I couldn't fathom it. A belief system that somebody has, and you know, again, you can also find folks and they say, well, in our family, we're always poor. We're always poor. That when we come to Lagos like this, our first job will be sacked. And you know how you know those people are being judged. They will now go to church for prayers. That shows you believed it. The fact that you even went for prayers, you are in trouble. Have you checked how you walk? Maybe there is a general laxity in your family. See, okay, let me leave that. It's not my teaching today. But one day we'll look at it. I wanted to teach something next month. What God cannot do. What God cannot do. Not what God does not want to do. He cannot do. But maybe later in the year. Wait. So they believed it. That the guy has come back. Your grandfather has come back. One day I was preaching in my own town. One of my aunts said, hey! Babaladra is back. I said, me? I'm not Babaladra. That's my grandfather's name. I said, I'm not Babaladra. I don't even know him. We don't believe alike. We don't believe. How did he come back? As a preacher of the word. Rubbish. You get the point. But the Jews also believed it. That somebody is paying for somebody's deeds. Do you know the people that also believed it? His own disciples. People can be followed. You see, if they were with the word became flesh. Those things didn't drop. Oh. It remains strong. The word became flesh. They are just saying, who did sin? You see, meat can be very strong. You know, these are guys that they had grown to hear it. That's why when people come around the world and they come to a world church from a church that wasn't teaching the word, they may assume they have dropped some things that they have not. It is when something happens that you will know. So that's why when I'm with people who are lamenting over issues, I try to listen to them closely. I heard a word person say this. Who am I to question God? Die! One even said this one time. He was in this church when we started then. He left the year after. And he said, it's karma. It's karma. You know that, right? He said, it's karma. I get it. But because I was trying to talk to him about something, if I exclaimed at that, he would just lose hope. Say, it's karma. You look at yourself. Several hours of teaching. You want to cry. And sometimes as a pastor, you study and study and pray and pray and pray. As you're studying, you're meditating. And someone says, they won't even get up. We're so blessed. Oh, what a gift of God you are to us. You know, you have taught us so much. Then circumstances now come. It's karma. Karma. You still believe in karma. This is not that they will reveal it by fire. There is no need for that day to be. This one has been revealed by fire. Oga, your works are burnt. What? God, what? He had not gotten to a place of persuasion. So people believe it. They believe it. A dear friend of mine, he just got married. And they told him the story of how everybody in a particular family, that is, all the siblings, all the cousins, they were like eight women who were from the same mother and had children who got married, and none of them had a single child. All the grandkids, they had children. And he was married. The funny thing about my friend, and the counsel he has of me, is a Methodist pastor. Very good friend of mine. And then she said, what do you think? I said, you are really crazy, Emoji. The person you want to marry, somebody I know very well, what should I have said? You get it? I know the wife because we were born in school together, so I knew her very, very, very well. You are not asking me whether she's the right person at this point. What should I have said? She's the wrong person. You now go and tell her. Oh, you didn't get what I was trying to say. I said, you're crazy. He said, no, I'm not crazy. She said, tell me. I said, hold on. I said, you are the one getting married. Forget that story. Forget it. What is the story you believe? He said, I don't have a problem. She doesn't have. He said, go ahead and get married. That was 2004. By 2005, they had had their first child. They have three children. And they remained the only ones that had children. So I said, how did it happen? I don't answer questions like that. See, I don't answer why. I don't answer those why. It's clear. God's power, good. Other side, evil. Why? I don't have time to process unbelief. You are processing the wrong things. Stay on the word. You are processing. processing, processing. I just told you. Africa, they believe, they were even killing albinos for years. Meats. He told them, John 9. You learning something here? Neither are this man's sins, nor his prayer. The word in the Greek there is, it's not about this man's sins. Is Jesus saying that this man has not sinned? That would not be correct. He's saying, it's not about sin. But that the works of God should be made manifest. How many of you used to believe that if you fall sick, you must have done something wrong to the Lord? Do you know that? That myth is so strong that up to today, if you are not careful, if you fall ill in your body, you start saying, hey, it's still there. Because you heard it for a long time. But you know, you can change that in your own parenting. Change it. It's what kids have been exposed to. Imagine early in the morning, your devotion in your house, Father, forgive us, forgive, forgive. So a child grew up in sin consciousness. It's a myth. And Jesus debunked it. That's what he did. So sometimes, what stands between people and their healing? And then, you see some people that don't even have any religious thinking, they don't even have any doctrine, and they will get healed. Why? There's nothing in their minds stopping them from receiving. So he simply debunked this. You follow what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? That's it. I remember someone told me that there was this epileptic stuff in the family. That from the dad to the mom, that everyone had epilepsy. To the kids, adults. We tried to pray. 1996, 97, we prayed. But it kept recurring. Then my dear friend, he's been to Lord, gone to Lord now, he now asks the question. What do you believe is happening? Then the person replied, well, I just believe that there's a demon in our family. See the point? A demon in our family. Even though, eventually, they found out it was a medical condition. It was a medical condition. And then, in fact, it was so bad that the person that this fellow was supposed to marry, last minute, I'm not doing it again. I mean, on the pulpit. So the first thing was, stay on the word. Feed on the word. Which was done for a long time. To the glory of God, this fellow is preaching the gospel, happily married, with kids, and doing very fine, and the thing never came back again. I don't know when he left, exactly, but I know it has left. Sometimes it's just the myth. There's a thinking, there's a mental block. Brother Hagin talks about mental blocks. There are some mental blocks. They are just there. So that you really need your mind renewed. So that the moment you see a doctor's report, don't get scared. It's only a report. That's all it is. Don't start panicking. Don't start, hey. Don't create a future that does not exist. It's a report. That's all it is. So sometimes it's just a myth. And what did Jesus do? He spat on clay, cleared the man's eyes. And that was it. The man was healed. So God's power carries God's character. And Peter summarized the ministry of Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Always carry health and healing thoughts on your mind. Health and healing thoughts. There are sometimes you skip some stories in newspapers. You skip them. There are sometimes you change the channel. You can control your thoughts with remote control. Change the channel. What about listening to healing testimony? Healing testimony. There was someone who was bound to an hospital bed with a mental infirmity. And they said, this is going to be like that forever. That they would let him out, but he would keep coming. They just put a tape on Kenneth Hagin. Played it all day, all night, all day, all night, all day. The nurses said that he would just speak up. According to Mark 11, 23, 24, I will be healed. That was it. Just played, Kenneth Hagin tapes. They just played it. Because they had seen Brother Hagin had a valid healing ministry. That's not the time to be going around people, sorry, sorry. Sorry is not a word of faith. Sorry is Schumann. I don't know what to call it. Why don't tell people you are healed in the name of Jesus? God's power is working in your body. No, what is that going to do? What's that going to do? So sometimes we need to remove those mental blocks. Remember, the moment that the woman with the issue of blood got healed, something happened in that story, Mark 5, just on my time I wrote through it. The woman just heard about Jesus. So what you hear matters. Brother Hagin has a teaching like that, how to write your own ticket with God. I used to teach it a lot in those days. And if I'm in a healing service, I'll teach the same thing. Number one, he will say, you saved. He said, well, the woman heard about Jesus, but you don't do anything where you are hearing. She heard it. That you have heard about healing is not an action. That you've heard great truth about healing is not an action. She now said, if I touch the hem of his clothes, I shall be made whole. She said it. Then she did it. She did it. She acted on what she said. Many of us talk faith and act doubt. So when you talk faith, act faith. She talked it. The third thing she did, she received it. God does not receive healing. You do the receiving. And now she did. Jesus called her. What happened to you? And she now narrated the story. Remember, they were going to the house of Jairus, where the daughter was healed to the point of death. So the crowd was stopping them. I mean, imagine. And then they got to the road. And then a woman is now giving one testimony like that. Just say, wrap up, wrap up, wrap up. Jesus allowed her to finish the story. And as he left, he told him, Master, don't bother your head. The girl is dead. It was very vital that Jairus heard what the woman did. And Jesus turned to Jairus. Fear not! If people do nothing to receive healing, Jesus would not have said that. Fear not! Because when you hear something negative, it brings fear. The next person on your mind is yourself. Fear not! Only believe. He had heard it. In fact, the way Mark put it, said immediately Jesus heard that, he said to him. Hallelujah. Say, I have no fear. Say, I have no fear. I'm full of faith. I have no fear. I'm full of faith. Watch that. So, he said that to her. So healing is, or faith for healing is just what you want. I want to be healed. That was what it was. You focus on God healing, which is His grace, as free. Don't forget, wrong teaching produces wrong thinking. Wrong thinking produces wrong believing. How do you know you have gotten a wrong believing? Watch what you say. It's not what you preach. You can preach the word, but you don't talk the word. It's not what you preach, watch what you say. Hallelujah. You know, what I'm saying is often, sickness has no free course in my body. The power of God is working in my body. You see, I have, how would you say I have a headache? Have possession. I have the power of God walking. There's a headache on my body, but I have the power of God walking in there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You can teach and not act on the word. You have to bust meat in your head. Bust it. Remove it. It's not enough to say, glory! In a service. What do you say in your room? When no one is there, what do you say? There's something some of us say in our offices. We don't say in church. You just look at people around, comfortable guys, who you can utter any trash around. You say, it's true! But when you come around people of the world, you don't say, glory, glory! What you said in that office is what you are thinking, is what you have made yourself to be. I believe in the healing power of God. It works for me all the time. It works for me all the time. It works for me all the time. I know how to receive the healing power. My attitude is positive towards the healing ministry of Jesus. Jesus Christ is my Savior. My righteousness is also my healer. Is my Savior. Is my righteousness is also my healer. Is my Savior. Is my message. Is my righteousness is also my healer. If He healed, then He heals now, and He heals forevermore. I receive the healing ministry of Jesus. There's no mental block hindering me from receiving the healing power that is found in Christ. My body adapts to the healing power of God. My body is comfortable with the healing power of God. My body is not comfortable with sickness or disease. My body adapts to the power of God. My body adapts to the healing power of God. Bless the Lord and give Him thanks.